everyone. Thanks for joining us on our 19th episode of But Why Though, a philosophy-themed comedy podcast with comedian Josh Carter
and philosopher Nancy Lopez.
And today we had a really good talk. We talked about the philosophy of friendships and relationships. And who did we have, Josh?
We had actor slash comedian slash relationship guru slash friend of Josh Carter, Dante Nero. He was on NBC's The Blacklist. He's in a bunch of movies like Fighting. We had a great conversation. You may know him also from the Beige Phillips podcast. He has a bunch of really great relationship guru type podcasts. He used to do a lot of stuff with Patrice O'Neill. I think that was a really good friend of his back in the day. He was kind of like, I think Patrice O'Neill may have been his mentor even. That's like one of the best comedians of all time. And it shows Dante is like a really smart dude who has a lot of great things to say about relationships. So that was one of the first people I thought for this. And then our other guest is your professor of philosophy and ethics at Brooklyn College, Christine Vetrano. It's a great mix of characters, and we get into it on this podcast. You are going to love this episode. So everyone, check it out. It's the But Why Though podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. So today we're joined by Dante, who's a comedian, actor, and relationship guru, and Christine Vetrano, who's actually my professor at Brooklyn College. So today we're going to be focusing on Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. I hope I'm saying that right. Book 8, and on friendships and relationships as well, since they kind of are the same things, similar things. And the first point I wanted to bring up is that Aristotle believes that friendship is necessary in order to have happiness and a virtuous life. And as I'm sure we all know, we're social beings. We need relationships. We need friendships. We need other people. We need to go out. We need to family as well in order to have a fulfilling life. And he explains how relationships count as friendships if both people care about each other's well-being, and it has to be reciprocated as well. So what I wanted to ask you guys, just a general question to start off, why do we need friends? And what do you think qualifies someone as a real friend or a good friend, you could say? And do you think there are different types of friends? I can start with you, Josh.
I mean, I feel like once you get a great relationship, you don't really need friends like you used to anymore, because that hole's been filled a little bit.
Maybe.
But like, it's nice because like you could have friends that are couples, but it's hard to have like your single friends in the same capacity like once you get into that relationship.
When she gave the description of what was it, Aristotle? Who was the philosopher?
Aristotle.
It just made me think how unhappy I am. So I'm gonna just get off the call right now. I'm done. Fucking ridiculous. The real thing I think is interesting is when you say friends are important. I've always perceived human beings on a three-dimensional level. There's a physical, there's an intellectual, and there's an emotional, and I think that is what gives somebody a good balance as a human being. And so a lot of times I think people put emphasis wherever their hangups are, they put their emphasis on whatever is, you know, they've been trained as a child what's important or what they're most comfortable with. But you need a balance of all three. It's almost like if you had a scale of 1 to 10 on intellect, a scale of 1 to 10 on intimacy, and then a scale of 1 to 10 on, you know, intellectual stimulation. Everybody has a different, you know, you might be a 5 and a 7 and a 3 or whatever. But what I find is when you, like, I've you know, counseled women who, no matter how hot the guy is, he could have the cum gutters, you know, and it's still a situation where I know this girl, she was dating, this guy was model, gorgeous, but he didn't know that pickles were cucumbers. So it's just, she, after a while, he was just such an idiot that she couldn't even get past it. So I think everything is important, and I think we decide which is more important based on how we grow up, you know?
I think that's right. I actually think that ties in well with what Aristotle was saying on some level, that when you think about the different kinds of friendships you have, it depends on what your needs are, right? And so like everybody's needs are different in terms of what they're looking for, you know, in another person. But we also have relationships with people that are like not that deep, and that's fine. They're like people you go to bars with and hang out with. I'm not going to get an intellectual conversation with people. Maybe I don't even like their politics. Maybe it's better we don't, you know, but they're fun to hang out with. They, you know, or you work with them and, you know, you pass the time, you bullshit together, whatever it is. There are lots of people that fill, I think, different roles in your life. And that's what Aristotle was saying, that there's these different kinds of friendships. But this kind of perfect friendship that he reserves as like the best kind is when I think all three of your levels are met on that one. Like, right. You really, you connect as people, you connect intellectually, but even emotionally and like values wise, these are people that like you really
even, I think even physically as well. I mean, even there's a situation where like I was really, Josh knows one of my best friends is this guy that passed away years ago, Patrice O'Neill. And he was, I don't know if you ever saw that movie Step Brothers where they're hugging at the end, but it's just like him and his mom had so much intimacy issues that to watch them hug was physically painful. And so I knew that he had an issue with intimacy just in terms of us being friends, you know, any physical content, like you know, putting your hand, it just, because if they're not used to that, they're just not used to that. So I you know, it's a weird thing. And I hate to kind of make this whole thing about, you know, making these generalizations about gender. But what I find in general with men, we have a group of friends and it's just that group of friends. So even the guy who's an asshole that's in our, we just kind of accept that he's an asshole and we, you know, whatever. Whereas I find women will have different groups of friends. So they're what they need from different groups, where men will get everything from that one group and it'll just be shitty people in the group that we know, maybe that's not that smart or cheap. And then we just deal with it, where I've noticed even I have three older sisters and they always have very malleable in their friendship, in that these are my friends I drink with. These are the ones I go to the strip club with. This is the ones I hang out with. And guys don't have that. It is what you got.
Yeah, that's true. Because like they say, there's friends that you can go out and party with, but there's friends that will help you move. You know?
Yeah, we take all your shitty friends when you have a group of guys and it's the same shitty friends that you go to the bar with, that you go to the game with, that you, it's the same dudes that don't pay the bill, never pick up the bill. And we just go, you know, that's the role, you know?
You deal with it. Do you deal with guys? I never thought about it in a guy and girl way.
Yeah. I mean, I also want to talk about another thing, Dante, saying about like the physical importance of relationships. And I think that the physicalness isn't only sexual all the time. Like I've heard, I don't know if this is true. This is just something we always talked about growing up, or like maybe like one of those urban legends growing up. I don't know. You could tell me maybe because you're a professor. Like they say that like men like do contact sports because that's like our way of like showing physical affection to each other. And a lot of the times like guys who aren't like involved in sports, like they're a little bit more, you notice that they are a little bit more effeminate. So I don't know if that's just a generalization or anything like that, but I've heard that growing up and stuff, like that sports is like an outlet for like friends who are like just platonic friends to like kind of have some kind of a physical connection.
That's why they slap their butts
or like tackle each other.
That's an interesting thing, but I don't think it makes them effeminate or not effeminate. I think you can have somebody who's like, I'm a really affectionate dude. I mean, and I've, you know, like I've definitely broken a couple of jaws in my lifetime, but that has nothing to do with the intimacy. But I think you have to evolve to that. We model the relationships that your parents have. We just, you know, this is so your mom is the epitome of of what you see as femininity, and your dad is the, or whatever significant male figure becomes how you see manhood. And that's what I find more so, more over than not, those examples suck because people didn't, they don't work on that. You know, this whole idea of being self-fulfilling and progressive is a really new concept where people want to better themselves. So, you know, my, I'm 54 years old. My dad was born in 1920. My dad grew up in Jim Crow. So where is his, yeah, where's his, the, in the context is where, I mean, he fought Nazis in Normandy. So at, where is his ability to go, well, I really want to actualize what my happiness is when you're literally just surviving. So you don't, I didn't have, I mean, there was affection, but I didn't have that. It was something that I had to develop with time and just kind of make a, create a destination of the kind of guy that I wanted to be, and then working to that ideal self, you know?
I think you're right. I think our parents are definitely our first role models, and our, it's interesting the level of physicality that people have. It's funny because growing up, I'm not, I mean, I'm very close to my parents, and I'm younger. I'm about 10 years younger than you. So my parents are baby boomers, you know? Right. And, but they weren't like my mom. Like I had a friend who used to joke that my mom was like so cold. My mom is just not a touchy feely person. So I never was like, my dad would like try to hug us. And I remember as like a teenager, like recoiling, like don't touch me. And I've always kind of been that way. But even when I met my husband, I would joke around with him, like, you know, like don't touch my neck. Don't touch it. You know, I'm not a touchy, and he's not either. Ironically, his family, they're just not very touchy feely people. And then when I was in my department, I'll never forget the first time I had been working in the school for like 2 years. I never hugged my chair or anything. I mean, I'm just not that kind of person. And this woman we had just hired comes in and she's hugging everybody. And everybody's hugging her back. And I was like, oh my God, I've been here like 3 years and I've never touched anyone. And this woman just got hired yesterday and she's like all over people. And I thought, wow, it really is like just, so I mean, I think you just give that vibe, like, don't touch me. I don't know. Yeah. But I think it's also how you're raised, you know, what you're comfortable with. I hug my kids constantly. I'm constantly hugging and kissing them. So
yeah, yeah.
Get it out that way.
It's a different thing. I think, so I'm kind of that way. Like I'm affectionate and I hug and I'm, but I don't, I think, so something that I'm, you know, in all of my years of trying to survive is that you realize how much authenticity is important. Just being truthful and being honest about who you are. And so I am a person who is affectionate and touchy-feely. And so, but it comes, even if you're not comfortable with it, this is how I represent myself, but it comes from an honest place. So it's not, it doesn't come off as creepy because my intention is not there. I mean, I think a lot of times we don't pay attention. You know, if a guy is coming at you with his fist balled up and he's coming to punch you in the face, you know what that body language for, you know what that energy feels like. But then when it comes to these subtle things about in social dynamics and social then all of a sudden we're not paying attention to the signals. And so I know when somebody's not comfortable with the, and I'm hugging them and I can feel them recoil. But the point is, I don't just pull away because of that, because the, my authenticity in it, the truth of the fact of where I am in terms of affection is that's where I am. Now, if you say to me, hey, then I'm definitely going to respect that, but I'm going to be me first. And then you can, you know, you show me where the boundary of all. And if you don't show me where the boundary, I'm just going to assume that it's okay. I mean, because I think you have to have the responsibility for your own happiness. You got to put your happiness first, because if you don't, nobody else will.
Sure.
Man, now I feel unpopular. You've never hugged me.
I absolutely have hugged you. I will not a hug, but I've given you the dap with the arm. I have given you the dap with the arm, so.
All right, so.
Plus, you were real skinny when you first started doing comedy. I'm really frail, so I didn't want to break you.
So I'll move on to the different types of friendship that Aristotle describes to us, and then we'll see if we can relate to some of them. I'm sure we could. And So Aristotle goes on to explain how there are three different types of friendships, the first one being the beneficial or useful friend. This type of friendship might not last long, since once they get what they want out of you, or once you get what you want out of them, and maybe you could even be doing this unconsciously, I would assume.
I feel like this happens all the time in comedy. Dante knows.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Probably. And, yeah, so it might not last long, because maybe once they get what they want out of you, or vice versa, then you might be over it. So do you guys have any experience with this type of friends, as you just mentioned? Is there a possibility for this type of friendship to last? What do you guys think?
I think what's interesting is, and I mean, Aristotle's supposed to be a big deal, but I don't really agree with it. I think the point is you try to create these, it's like you're creating these categories of, okay, this is this kind of friendship, this is this kind of friendship. It's the same kind of thing when we follow stereotypes. You create this kind of this box, and then everything has to go into that box. When I think a lot of times friendships are again beneficial at times and not beneficial. It's a fluid thing. And I think the fluidity of any kind of relationship is based on, like, your energy is part of that, how that relationship flows. So I think if you're coming from an honest place, and you know that somebody that, I mean, what you're talking about is just a parasitic kind of relationship. And we, like, that's why you're saying in comedy, there's always a guy befriending you to get ahead in the business. But if you live in abundance and you're authentic with yourself, those people kind of get out of your way. Because they don't want to be called, you know, because they don't want to be perceived as a fraud, or as, nobody wants to be as being snaky or deceptive. So it's a weird thing. If you're honest, people kind of move out of your way.
So I think what you're saying is right, but I think you're getting Aristotle a little wrong. Like, he would actually agree with you. So I think that the kinds of relationships you're saying, Aristotle would say, are not really friendships, right? Because, like, in order to be beneficial, like, that's the sort of final characteristic. You also have to have kind of mutual love and recognition of your mutual. So, like, I always, when I do this lecture, I joke, like, you know, I might love Brad Pitt and, like, think he's the greatest thing on earth and, like, be willing to do anything for him. But it's not a friendship if it's not mutual, if it doesn't go both ways, if he doesn't know I exist, this is just not, which is why it's kind of interesting when you started with the question of, you know, like, I always think about, like, Facebook and these kinds of new ways in which people have all of these friends. I mean, are they really friends? Are they people that, right? No, not at all. But I don't think they would be on Aristotle's view either, because I think, again, there has to be this kind of,
in
the beneficial friendships, this kind of mutual love and respect.
But I think there's also a situation when you come, like, so I always say people are always working on their Facebook profile and they're not working on their regular profile, their real profile. So there's everybody just putting out the best, this is basically the movie trailer for your life. And so nobody is talking, nobody's posting the time that they fell down the stairs or they stubbed their toe. It's everybody's on yachts with champagne, and it's all bullshit because it's inauthentic.
Yeah.
And so when I say, when you keep, that's why the authenticity is so, because all of that is inauthentic. If your presentation is that you wake up, put your feet on the ground, and you try to be truthful and honest, that eliminates, it cleanses everything, because people who are deceptive are going to know that you're not a person who does that. And people who are truthful are going to go, I like this dude. I know what I get from him. And so it just kind of cleanses everything. So I get what, I mean, I understand the point of making these generalizations of this type of friendship, that type of, but everything is more in this gray area, and it's some of this and some of that, some of this, and even sometimes it's fluid where it's this and then it becomes that. And, you know, I mean, I think you just got to settle into it, and you got to kind of pay for the house based on what it's appraised with right now, not what it was, what you think it can be potentially, or what it was 5 years ago. And I think people do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely difficult to put everything on a list of what a good friend should be or what types of friendships there are. But I do think he does a good job in differentiating some of them, at least. And we can, I think you, in most good friendships, that person does benefit you and you do benefit them in some way, but that can't be the only reason why you're friends, because then it's just based on that. And once that's gone, then the friendship.
Yeah, you can't date someone just because they live in an apartment with amenities. You know, once they move out.
And you can't stay with them years later because the rent is good. I know dudes, who got a great apartment, a roomy great apartment, and will not, they're not even in a relationship, but they sleep in the same bed, and the excuse, I mean, you know that the excuse, it's more involved than that, that they are codependent anyway, but they're like, I'm not leaving this apartment and go and try to get someplace else as big as this with these high ceilings. We'll just stay together, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that happens a lot, especially in New York City. They call them New York marriages.
Really?
When you finally realize, you know, you're mature enough to split the rent with someone else, you know? but yeah, it's a challenge. Like I think maybe being in a city where the rent is so high, that you see a lot more people trying to like kind of force these relationships on, like because of things outside of each other, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, they do that anyway, I think, you know, people do that anyway. They do that without the rent. I mean, moreover than not, I talk to dudes all the time and they're in relationships that don't make them happy with somebody that they don't like simply because they're afraid to not be with somebody. So, you know, they don't feel that their value. There's this commercial I always talk about. There's an IKEA commercial where the lady is buying all this stuff and she looks at the check and she goes, she sees it's so cheap and she looks around and she walks out and then she says, Henry, start the car. And I always say that most people are in relationships. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah,
I run it through a board, and so for some reason, if it cuts off, I gotta reset the interface or whatever. Heck, hold on. Yeah, okay, I'm back in.
Cool. Do you remember where you were at when you got cut off?
About the lady getting the check.
I know where I'm at. So it's sort of like a thing where people decide what their value is. They make a decision about what they think their value is, and then they look at this other person, they assess their value, and if they think that the person is better than them or more valuable, then that builds the attraction. And then, but what it's almost like you're in a place where you don't think that you deserve to be, really deserve to be. It's like you're in the playoffs and you know that your team is not good enough, or it's like, you know, it's like going into a boxing match without training. You know that you don't really belong there. And so what you find is that people will negotiate off. Like I always say, relationships are really easy. Just figure out what your non-negotiables are and then never negotiate them because they're non-negotiable. But I think you got to be honest about what's non-negotiable. So if you're in a relationship and you're saying, listen, fidelity is non-negotiable for me, and then the guy cheats on you or the guy steps out, then you have to leave. Because you anything less than that, then you're compromising what you're not a person of your word. Now you're dishonest about what you really, what's non-negotiable. And you have no credibility because now what you said means nothing. You said that fidelity was non-negotiable and you stay. So even though I may benefit from you being flexible with your morality, in my brain, it still registers is that you don't have any credibility. So it doesn't make you more attractive to me simply because you've been in my favor. I used to say, if you got a cousin who's a crackhead and he comes to your house and says, look, I got these 60-inch TVs, give me $100. You go, yeah, and you take the TV. And then he comes back 2 weeks later and says, man, I don't have no place to stay. Can I stay in your house? And you go, no, because you're a crackhead. That's why you don't let crackheads stand out. He goes, well, I sold you that TV. Yeah, you're still a crackhead. So it's like you not having credibility about what the words that come out of your mouth, it makes you less attractive. It's people would rather you define what you are so that they can feel, it makes people feel safe in their feelings and their physically intimate. It's a better, and any bend of that, I find that any bend of that, even in particular situations, you end up losing anyway. Because you're misrepresenting yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely having that honesty is important.
Christine, you were going to say something. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I agree with you, but I think what you're talking about is excellent, but I think it requires a high level of self-awareness that I think a lot of people don't have.
Sure.
Or haven't put the work in to even think. It amazes me how... No, I mean, because I think you're exactly right. I think it's all about the non-negotiables. And by that, I mean, people in philosophy write about all of this kind of stuff. They use different language, but it's the same kind of thing.
Right.
You have certain priorities, you have certain values, you have certain things you're not going to compromise on. And people are different in what they put up and down and how much importance they attach to it. But that requires like self-awareness, right? You have to like think about, and that is a part of happiness, right? That is like, I couldn't be happy without X. I couldn't be happy if you did Y. And each person has to come to terms with what they need. And if you can find someone who you know, meets your needs and you meet their needs and you're on the same, but it also requires you kind of acknowledging that. I think the reason why a lot of people, it amazes me how many people get cheated on and take the people back or like it's, I mean, even my students are constantly writing about,
it's because
I'm in this bad relationship and I know that it's bad. And I'm like, I've never like, move on.
Yeah, but I think what you have to take into consideration is you're assuming when they're talking about the things that are most important to them or are non-negotiable, you're assuming that they're telling the truth.
Right.
And they're really not. They're lying to themselves. They're lying to you.
Yeah.
Even if they're not lying, they've never spent, like, it's an interesting thing. Like when I do comedy, if there's something I'm trying to, I'm writing a particular joke. The first thing I need to acknowledge is, what am I trying to say? Like, yeah, this may be funny and that may be funny and the dude slips on the banana peel, but what am I really trying to communicate? There's only two reasons why you should talk. To get information or to give information. Everything else is bullshit. It's fluff. It's lies, it's extra icing and extra cheese. Because when you get down to the root of what you are, if you don't like it, you either got to shut up and just be that, or you got to get up off your ass and change it.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't really want to know. They don't really want to know where they are. They don't really want to know what the marks are, because then you don't get to, you still don't get the attention of whining about how horrible your relationships are when you're doing this. It's first, there's no victims. There's only volunteers. I'm a victim on the first shot. And after that, I am signing up for your bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, and you definitely have to want to be aware of it and want to change it and not just say, oh no, this is happening to me again and again and again. It's like, maybe there's a pattern here that something you're doing is...
Yeah, you're like, I walked into a gay bar by accident again. It's like, come on, dude.
Oh my God. All right, I'll move on to... our second type of friend, a friendship, and another example Aristotle gives us is the pleasant and enjoyable friend. So you enjoy their company, and this is just something I added, but you could live without them, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think the person is attractive, fun to hang out with, but you don't really do much for each other, or you don't see each other often. And these type of friendships are incidental, easy to find, but hard to be developed. And remember, even though you like this friend now, your needs and pleasures could change over time, and perhaps this friendship won't be of value to you anymore. So maybe you like them now, but maybe in a few years you might not. So these types of friendships are kind of iffy too. And how do you guys feel about this type? Can you trust someone just because they seem nice or fun to hang out with, or because they're pleasurable?
They're great to pass time with, you know, like this is like that comedian at the open mic who's always the funniest at the thing. So you might want to kick one and have a beer. It doesn't make you guys friends, though.
It's a true story. I wrote a joke about male friend of mine who fell in love with this 21-year-old trans woman, right? And he called me up crying because she cheated on him, right? And she cheated on him, and so he was crying and this and that. And he, but he's 51, and she's 22, right? So I exactly, you see, Christina's always so the joke in my head was, first of all, you want me to one of the punchlines was, you want me to be feel give you sympathy when you let a guy named Melvin break your heart, right? And then which is to communicate my struggle with dealing with the terms. Do you know what I mean? Because his name is, you want me to, I don't see how I should be, I'm still a dude, which is still comes from an honest place. And then I said, and then the other thing is, he's 51 years old and she's 20 years old. I go, she's 20-year-old people are fickle. I go, they're fickle. They in love, they're out of love. It doesn't, I said, but you're a 51-year-old man who's very settled and you are expecting this consistency from a 20-year-old. But my punchline was like, and let's be honest, she's a trans woman. She wasn't even loyal to her penis, right? And so the thing was,
I mean, it's not that obvious, like with your friends and like, I feel like in certain areas it's more obvious than others.
No, I think the point is you have to hone that skill. So I had two women approach me afterwards and then she was like, oh my God, I just feel like I understand, but this is not a safe space. And then she's going on and I'm like, are you trans? No. Are you LG? No, she's just took on this. And I go, well, what was offensive? Because there's an empathy. I really want to know if it is offensive, because even when people are just manipulating you, it all falls apart when you ask questions. Well, what offended you? Explain to me what offended you so I can understand where you're coming from. And so I noticed they just kept berating me. I said, you still didn't tell me what's offensive. And she says, well, you said she's a trans girl and she's a beautiful trans woman. So this was she didn't even have, like, she was just making it up. And I go, first of all, this is a real story. I said, my boy's girlfriend, she sold crystal meth, she cheated on him, and she was a bitch. We didn't even like her. Plus, she had broad-ass shoulders, too. So it's like, you're saying she's beautiful, and she's and she's none of those things. Not because she's trans, just because she's an awful fucking human being, right? And and so they were like, well, I'm going to go. They got all upset, and they left, right? And that's actually what I wrote that all in the joke, that this interaction I had with them, with these two girls, and they were, but I did, I went and I, you know, like had a lettuce and I would talk to Mateo, my LGBT comic friends. I was like, look, I'm doing this joke. What is offensive? Is there anything offensive? And you know, the queens, they're like, bitch, it's funny. Like they don't care. But I go, I'm just trying to understand if I'm off base. And, this drag queen comic, she says her name is Hedda Lettuce. You know Hedda, right?
Actually, I don't.
No. So she's been around for years. I said, what? She said, well, look, if they really want to nitpick, she's not loyal to her penis is the offensive part. And I explained, and I said, because the whole point was they feel like a woman. Their representation is what their feeling is. So the physicality, no, I said, the punchline was, she's not even loyal to her gender. That was the original joke. And when I said gender, she was like, that, because it's their deciding where they fit in, and I don't have a right to do that. So I changed it to penis because the physicality doesn't matter, which, you know what I'm saying? But the whole point is I had to have enough empathy for the joke, not because my intention wasn't funny, to be offensive. It was to be funny and to talk about my issues you know, with this, dealing with this, when I've been trained a certain way and trying to, you know, my journey be of being more progressive. But, you know, and then to talk about it, and even I'll still have someone, I'll say, not even loyal to your penis, and some girl, some usually very white girl will come and she'll go, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll go, yeah, I know it was offensive when I was saying it, this, but I talk to people and this is what they said to me. You don't get, but but the empathy of that in friendship, it's, I give a fuck about you. And I think the thing is, I'm 54 years old. I've got a 1-year-old son. This year is my first child ever. And
oh, wow. Congrats.
You start to understand that time is the commodity. It's not the fame or the fortune or the likes. It's time, because without time, you can't get anything else. And so I just don't waste time with friendships that don't bring value to my life. Like, I used to, even what you're talking about, like the neutral one where you don't give me nothing, I don't give you. But yeah, there's still, you're stealing, you're throwing away time with people who don't teach you, they don't enhance you, they don't stimulate you, which is still a loss, because it's a loss of time. And it doesn't matter when you're 20 and you're 30 years old, when I'm 54, and I'm looking at it like this. I've lived more years than I'm probably going to live. And so why would I waste it on somebody because they're, you just get a different mentality, you know, as you get older and you just. Yeah,
I was going to say, you're so right. It's funny how, as you get older, you know, friendships you had, like I had all these friendships from, you know, when I was young and we.
College and stuff.
Yeah. Because we were friends.
Right.
And you start saying like, why are we friends? You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel like the older you get, you don't need all of these actually. Like like you said, it's a waste of time, especially once you have kids.
Yeah.
There's no time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a waste. Like, I don't have time for that nonsense. You know, if they're not real and you don't get each other, who cares if you knew them for 20, 30 years?
Yeah.
It's not worth it, you know? Yeah. And a lot of those friendships dissolve, and it's not a bad thing, you know?
A lot of them are abusive. And then when you really step back and you go, this, I don't even like this. You hang out with people that you don't even like. And you wonder why.
How many dinners my husband and I went with, and we come home and I'm like, I don't even like these people. Yeah. We're not doing this again.
Right. And then you get into that routine and you're doing it. It's a weird thing. It's like, but I always say, when you think about great people that have done extraordinary things in life, you ask them who's their best. If you ask who's their best friend, you go, I don't know. So who's Bruce Lee's best friend? I don't know. I mean, I know he had subordinates and he had teachers, but he was so busy growing himself that he didn't have time for other people. I'm quite sure he had engaged in social situations or whatever. Muhammad Ali, who was his best friend? I don't know. Michael Jordan, he didn't have any friends, you know. But in order to be great, you know, it's like what Kobe used to do. You got to be in the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning doing 100 free throws. And most of your friends ain't shit. They're garbage people. and you're giving them time and kindness and they're sucking you. And all because you need to be validated in the context that you're important enough that other people say, okay, because I know these people, it gives me value. And then when you look at the person, you're like, this is a garbage, like, why do I even care? This person doesn't even have an ability to critique me. They're not even smart enough to critique me. You know, it would be like an open micer telling you, you know how we are when you get your joke and be like, you know what would be good? You know what would be, if you would shut the fuck up, that would be better. You've been doing this 6 months. I've been doing this 20 years, you know? So there's I think, but even that is honest. It still goes back to being honest. I'm like, I'm not going to do awkward. I'm not doing awkward. If I gotta be twist and contort to be with you, we cannot do this. We could end this yesterday. Cause what do you got left? I mean, you got your time is, it's clicking extraordinary things. And I get, you know, and I think people that are really, that meet you on your level, you stick to them.
Yeah.
And even with the distance, you stick to them, you know, so it's a, you know, it's a weird thing to take it and say it's this or that, you know, to create these boxes, because it's so much more fluid than that.
Yeah, it is interesting. I can remember when I was younger in college at my other San Francisco State, and even in high school and middle school, like, you used to think that your friends were like, you're the most important thing in the world, and they were gonna, you know, save my life somehow. But like, my mom would always say, she'd be like, oh, really? They're so important. Go live with them then. See if they'll pay for all your bills and everything. And now, like, I'm still in school or whatever, but there's certain friends that from back in the day that I don't really talk to anymore. And back then, we would go out in groups. We would all go out together. And I used to think, these are all my friends, you know? Yeah. And yeah, now there's only a few. And there are some, we're at a long distance. Most of my friends are in California, but we still stay in touch, a few of them. And it's interesting to see over time how that changes. And I think it changes more the older and older that you get.
You really realize who your friends are when all your friends start getting married, right?
Yeah. Why?
You really realize how old you are when they start getting divorced. And they're splitting the house. That's how you know. And then they're remarrying or whatever. Like, it's, you know. It's a weird thing, because for me, that this all, you know, my son, like, I've dated women with kids, but this is my biological son. And what's interesting is, I'm, you know, people like, oh, you know, you're so much older, you know, you're not as young, but you gotta understand, I'm not making those mistakes. All the dumb shit that my mom and dad did, and I'm not doing that. I'm not. It's even with my wife, it's like, it gets crazy. I go, listen, first of all, we're not going to do that. I don't hear what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. Whatever you're feeling, so this got to stop. So calm down and we have a discussion. Otherwise, I'm not having a discussion. I know that I don't need him to stick a fork in the plug to know that I need to get the caps for the plug. You know, you just have a different, you know, like when you're a kid and you got your juice here and you're eating and your mom takes the juice and moves it over here so you don't knock over the juice because you've done it 16 times. I have this kind of, I know, okay, let's move this out the way. Let's do, you just have like a sixth sense, and it gets easier. And that's when you realize because you're really taking a look at yourself. So you're your first patient. And when you figure you out, you realize how much people are the exact same. Everybody thinks they're unique and different, but I've never seen nobody take a shit facing the tank. All the people I know, millions, nobody takes a shit. And you could, that would be better. Like, there's a desk, you could do work there, you could eat a sandwich. So, but nobody does that because we're all the same. Like, we do the same shit and we think that we're unique, and we're not. Same shit you do, somebody else is doing in Turkey right now. Same bullshit. So, you know, when you start to see that, it becomes, I have less energy, but I'm much more precise with the decisions. I'm thinking 6, 7, 10 steps ahead, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gives a lot to think about for sure. There's really no clear cut response for.
Yeah, it's like it's like you said before. It's like all basically gray area in your interpretation. Yeah.
So I'll move on to our last one. So our last type of friendship that Aristotle describes is the best one, the excellent, the morally good friend. It's based on goodness. Your friendship is not superficial, since it's not only based on benefiting from them or getting pleasure from them. And you have this relationship because you simply like them because of who they are. And this is more long lasting than the other ones. And this type of friendship already includes benefiting and enjoying from each other. But also, this type of friend brings out the best in you. You might share similar interests as well. You share your joys and your sorrows, ideally, and wishing them well for their own sake. All of these types of friends or friendships are possible according to Aristotle, but this is the most complete version of it. So I wanted to ask you guys, have you had any friendships like this? Is this what relationships should be like? Do you agree with Aristotle in general?
Yeah, this reminds me of something my dad told me that I really took to heart. And part of the reason we're together, you always like look for, like in a relationship, always look for someone on the same moral grounds as you. Because there's like a lot of differences there. There could even be most people that you meet, like most people I dated like before you, for instance, like we weren't like completely on the same moral grounds. I'm not saying that they were immoral people or I was an immoral person, but things that I thought were super important morally here, like maybe they weren't like as high up with me there or vice versa or something like that.
I've known you for a lot of years and you're a pretty shitty person. So you were probably more immoral. Probably more immortal than all your friends. You are a dirtbag. You are truly a dirtbag. Anyway, I mean, you know, I think that's what you're trying to achieve, those kind of fulfilling. That's the whole point. And those other categories of failures, if there's failures for what you ultimately are trying to have in your life. And you can't do it without knowing yourself. It's like what Christine said, and I get, you know, it's funny when you first said that, Christine, I was thinking to myself, yeah, you know, like even for me, it's been a journey. And there's a lot, but it's still a journey. But the point was, you know, I used to say this, the greatest thing about being a dick is that tomorrow you don't have to be, like, you could get up tomorrow and make different choices. True. So it's a weird kind of thing where you know, it's hard to be self-introspective, but whatever you do, you get better at it because you're practicing and you start seeing things. And so it's like, man, I'll have social interactions with somebody and instantly I really don't give a fuck. So I'm going, yeah, I'm not doing that. I won't even be passive aggressive. Like, hey, I'm not available. And I'll be like, yo, I don't even like you. I already don't all of this. I don't like none of this. You shady. And you, what do you mean? I call it out. You shady. That's why I don't like you.
You don't waste time.
I don't. Cause why? Why?
Yeah.
And if we called it out, we wouldn't have the president we have today. If people called out this kind of stupidity and actually said it, it was so, everybody's trying not to offend, but nobody wants to be truthful.
So true.
That's why assholes.
In a way, that's why we have the president today, because he's the only
truthful,
like one who wasn't afraid.
Well, he's a liar too.
I didn't mean it like that. But
his actions, brutally. His actions, he's true. His actions are consistent. He's been consistent. But I think the problem is there's this. You know, I always look back at when
I felt Hillary, like he roasted everyone in the Republican primary. It's like a roast battle each time.
Remember when Hillary said deplorables? She was absolutely fucking right. And if you know what? If she had doubled down on it,
exactly.
If she had doubled down on it, exactly. She would have rocked it. If she was like, I said deplorables. If you're racist and homophobic, Zeta, you are deplorable. There's no room for you to get back and fuck you. The liberal, everybody, because the same way they fuck with Trump, because he says it out loud, even if they don't like it, they'd rather you say it out loud.
They respect him because
that's it. And he's so disrespectful.
Grant Cardone has this quote. He says, if you could get half the country to hate you, you might just become president of the United States.
But this is the, you know, I'll tell you how far I take it in terms of the authentic. I used to love to watch Maury Povich and Jerry Springer. It was like my guilty pleasure, right? And I know, you know, we know, you know, being in the business, those stories are scripted and they're actors and stuff like that. And it's being, you know, some of it is real, but most of it is not. I've all shot pilots for reality show. Very little of it is real. But the fact that you're taking it under the, the assumption that it is real, that it's reality TV, it's almost like you're lying to yourself. So I stopped watching those things because of it. That is why we have this man as a president today. This is why, because this, we have embraced stupidity, and he's a fucking idiot whisperer. He is the Pied Piper of idiots and racists. And he knows how to play. He knows exactly what the fuck to say. But he's, you know, and so even in the context of his honesty that he knows these people, he's telling them, I'm going to save your suburbs and all kinds of, that's why that base, they find value in him. They find, and so you got.
He's saying what they. He's basically saying what they all have been wanting to say about people who are like overly politically correct. So, cousin,
but it's not even that. It's they or know whatever. They ain't shit. They know they ain't shit. But what he's done is he has weaponized whiteness. He goes, you don't have a job. You don't have fresh water because we're fracking underneath you. You ain't got no food, no health care. But at least you're not a nigger. And they're going. Good point. That is a good point, because you're talking about the whole, this country's, the science of the day in this country was that black people were inferior. That was accepted science. They was filling peppercorn inside of black skulls to see who had the bigger brain and the thicker skull and just that was the science of the day. And so you create a culture of that. And then
I feel like he's more of a user of that than
of course
like,
he is.
Part of it. Like he used it.
He's part of it. Yeah. I think
he's trash. Part. He's trash, dude. That's the. Did you see Christine? Did you see the Coastal Elites? Did you see that? Did you see that, Josh?
Like 5 minutes of it, and I couldn't take it. I turned it off.
Oh my god! Okay, here's what you got. Watch. The Issa Rae one.
Okay, well, that was the one I wanted to. I started with, I think it was Bette Midler or whoever, and it got so.
Yeah, that was a little all over the place. Start with the Issa. Do the Issa Rae one.
Yeah.
So she went to boarding school with Ivanka.
Wow.
So her dad is owns the first black Wall Street trading brokerage house. Mm-hmm. And so she got money. I was wondering how she was getting all the. She got money, so she went to boarding school with Ivanka.
Wow!
And so
I didn't know that. That's
she
crazy.
Talks. Me she either. Says so. Trump asked her father to come to the White House, and she was like, "You're not going to go, Dad." He goes, "Look, it's you. You always go and listen to what people have to say. You go there with the filter, but you don't go." So and he was like, "You're coming too." So she goes. He makes her come. They go to the White House. Ivanka goes, "Issa, oh my god, oh my god, it's just, come with me." And she takes her and takes her to the Lincoln bedroom. And she says, "As soon as I came here, I knew you would love it." Like
wait, Ivanka said that to Issa?
Yeah, to the Lincoln bedroom. Like, oh, this is the one that freed. Like, she's so, like, unaware of what's going on. And she talks about how she goes, we would be like a power. But basically, she wanted Issa Rae to run political cover for her, being her black friend. That's what she's, it's, you gotta hear the story. I was never a fan of Issa Rae. And when I was like, oh, this is the dopest shit ever.
Yeah.
Wait, was this after Insecure already came out, the first season?
I don't know when it was. It had to be pretty... No, because she had already blew up. She had already blown up. Yeah. So she knew that Issa Rae had clout with the black community. She wanted her to... I want you to be my black friend. Yeah. And she was like, it'd be like a power... What do you want? She was like, what do you want to Issa Rae? Whatever you will... I'll call you. We'll just wait. And Issa Rae is like, I can't believe that she thinks that I would even do this. She was like, don't, she goes, and people don't like me. And she goes, do you understand the things that you said and the things with George Floyd and all of this and your father's doing this? And she goes, Issa, I tweeted about it. Didn't you see? I quoted the like
totally.
I went online.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you get it, you got to hear the story, because I'm never a fan of hers. And I was like, wow. Like, but this is that.
She's like one of those actresses, every time I see her in something new, I like her a little more than.
Yeah. Well, this was real. When you hear her tell this story, you're like, wow, I'm a new fan, because it was like, no, I'm not. She, you know, ultimately she calls her back and says, hey, like, you're just so oblivious. Like this is even something that somebody was thinking about doing. It's crazy. It's crazy. But you see that kind of, you know, unawareness. You see, I mean, here's the thing, Josh, anytime you see a guy who doesn't know how to do a joke, it's because he doesn't know who he is. The joke comes out of nowhere. There's no congruency in his energy and what he's saying. It's stuff like when you steal a joke, you go, that ain't you. So yeah. that ain't your joke. That's not how you tell, you know? So it has a feel to it, but it's still authentic. Tell the truth. And it gets easier. Mm-hmm. It gets easier. I think it just gets easier. And those friendships are the ones you don't want to have any other, like, there's no reason to hang out with somebody you don't want. Like, I'm just not, I don't like you. No offense, but I don't like spending time with you. I had a friend, I'll tell you off air, a friend of mine, 10 years. And every time I talked to him, it was, you know, he had depression, and I was like, man, you got to go. He didn't want to get no therapy, but then he's just unloading on. I'm like, dog, I don't want to be friends no more. I don't like this. I don't like talking to you. When I see your name on the caller ID, I'd rather swallow glass than talk to you. I was like, I'm good. If you don't like me, you just going to not like me, but I'm not.
Was it drains you too.
There's a comedian?
Yeah.
I've had some friends like that too.
Yeah, and that just sucks your energy away. You're not benefiting from them. They're not giving you pleasure, like Aristotle says. Based on a goodness.
But then I guess, like, I mean, I have to play a little bit of devil's advocate. I agree with you, but to play a little devil's advocate, it is nice that have a friend, like, in moderation to vent to if you're, like, having a rough time. That's, like, when... But not, like, every time you talk to the person. Like, you have to be kind of self-aware.
Yeah, but that's the point. If you get somebody that's just dumping on you, then they're not, you know, they're not your friend. You know, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It sucks. You know, when you see someone, you know, you see somebody on the phone, on the call line, you're like, this most, like, like, why would you do that? Why? I mean, they're not even being aware enough to know that they can't tell that your stomach is turning. They can't see they're talking to you and you got this blank look on your face. I know when somebody don't give a fuck about what I'm talking about. I could tell because I'm paying attention, because I don't want to be that to somebody else. So I don't think I should have to put up with it if I'm not doing that to people, you know?
That's a good point.
Yeah, you should treat your friends how you would treat yourself, kind of.
All right,
yeah.
Well, we're basically now, like, at the end, coming kind of running out here. So let's go around, and if you want to give a final point each, you could. And then if you have anything you'd like to plug, that, like, social media or anything you're doing that you'd like people to come follow, feel free to plug. We can start with you, Christine.
I don't know that I have any files. I have nothing to plug. I'm really not on social media at all. So I have nothing there to say. This was really fun. I think it's interesting to think about friendship and relationships. And I think authenticity is really important. I think that's key. And I think when you're authentic and the other person is authentic.
Yeah, it's easy.
And when it's easy, that's the person you marry, you know, and that's it. You hold on to those people forever. Yeah. Like, it has to be easy. If it's a lot of work, it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, Dante.
You could just check out my podcast. My podcast is Man School 202. It's on everywhere you can find podcasts, and my Patreon is up now. Man School 202 at Patreon. I do a lot of listener mail and stuff behind the scenes. If you want to sign up for the Patreon, and my Instagram is Dante Nero, DanteNero, everything Dante Nero, website and everything. Google me, I'm there. And the YouTube channel. Man School. I've been taking up clips and putting clips up and stuff for things that I've found that, you know, help me in life. That's it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And this has been the But Why Though podcast. You can follow us at BWT Podcast. Also, if you have anything to say, you want to start the conversation, you could hashtag us at But Why Though Pod on Twitter. You can follow me at Gosh Carter. That's GOSHCARTER. That's both Instagram and Twitter. And
you can follow me at Miss Nyancy, MSNAYANCI.
All right. Thanks so much for coming out, everyone.
Thank you.